Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Washoe County Commissioner Kitty Jung, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Mary Lau, Mac Bybee, and Andrew McKay. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome to the program Washoe County Commissioner Kitty Jung. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Mr. Shan.
Mr. Shad, no, I think you can call me Sam.
Okay.
Let's start out on a friendly basis. Let's talk about the growth issues that are going on. Just in the last week, the Reno Gazette Journal has been reporting on housing prices, and there's a desperate need for affordable housing. But with the median price of housing above $300,000, how do you persuade builders that they need to build affordable housing, and what would that look like?
Well, as you said, 55% of our citizens here in Washoe County cannot afford the median housing price. That's more than half. And this is projected to not get better, but worse, if we do not do some sort of action as a region. I really believe this should live with regional planning and the housing authorities to figure out a bank of some sort that developers pay into, and then we can turn around and subsidize developers to then build affordable housing. That, to me, is the clearest path, but I'm sure there's lots of other ideas. I did ask staff to come back with some ideas across the country, what's the best practices, because we're not the only community that has had this sort of explosion of growth and prices.
Okay, so let me, Mayor Sheevy was on the program a week or so ago talking about a similar thing in terms of fees. But if you're charging builders fees, then the people that can afford regular housing are going to pay increased prices over the already inflated prices of the housing. So it's a catch-22. You're just going to push more people into the position where they won't be able to qualify for mortgages.
There is that. I mean, anytime you put any artificial pressure on the market, there are unintended consequences. But for the short period to time period, we still have to get people in housing. So while you make a very good point there, I cannot just sit back and do nothing for somebody that has a job for $15 an hour, which is a pretty decent wage for an unskilled worker. They still can't afford to live here, even in an apartment, because we have such low inventory and an overbooking of people needing apartments.
As you talk to the area builders, and obviously developers are people that come and talk to you all the time, what is their response? Is there still a fear that this boom is not real?
Very much so. And
what does it have to take? I mean, you go out to USA Parkway and see what's going on out there at Tesla and Panasonic. Panasonic just took another warehouse, 250,000 square feet, beyond the huge plant that they have with Tesla. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take for these folks to realize.
Well, I think we're all a little gun shy. I went through it when I first got on the commission in 2007. in August, appointed by Governor Jim Gibbons, the very first meeting that we did in September was to rip open the budget and redo it, because we could see the projections were just so woefully low. And that was hard times to live. And we were laying staff off. Staff was also experiencing a high level of stress. We had a lot of cancers, strokes, heart attacks, sick days. So we had to also really get rid of all of our rainy day funds. So I don't know what it's going to take, but it is something that we have to be cautiously optimistic about and not lose the history of what we went through.
Okay, so I think that you bring up a perfect point in bringing up history. I think the history to look at is 1977 and 1978, because those were the years when the MGM Grand was being built and then opened in 1978, and we had a similar situation. Now, that was only 1,000 hotel rooms for the original project. It ended up being 2,000. Now it's the Grand Sierra Resort. But at the time, the phone company was unprepared. Everybody had to use party lines. They didn't have new individual phone lines for people for quite a long time. There were no apartments. There were construction workers living on the Truckee River in tents. I mean, that's looks like the direction we're heading back into is where we're just not prepared for what is happening.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how we do prepare for what is happening. And you know, if you talk to Edon and Mike Kazmierski, he says he doesn't want to talk about any development unless it's affordable housing. But how do we incentivize affordable housing for a community that is, the inventory is so low right now? There is no such thing as affordable housing. You're seeing very small, not in the greatest area in terms of what realtors would tell you. And people are getting into bidding wars just to get into a home.
And that's pretty much the way it was pre-recession.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, if you remember, there were people who were lining up just to have a chance to get on the list.
The lottery. Yes, the lottery.
Not to buy a house, but just to get on the list to yes. potentially buy a house.
Yes. I don't live at the developer's world, and I don't understand, you know, what the break-even point is and when you do start developing. But I know they're all very cautious.
It's going to be a very interesting time. Let's take a break. More with Kitty Jung, Washoe County Commissioner, when we come back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Washoe County Commissioner Kitty Jung. It came to me from a very reliable source that a person high up in the staff of Lyon County said about 2 weeks ago now that we don't want housing here. Story County's not going to have housing. We don't want housing either. What are your thoughts on hearing something like that?
Well, I think it's wrong-headed and wrong-minded, and that's going to drive up housing prices as well. And
But doesn't that seem to be one of the most appropriate places to put in affordable housing?
Absolutely.
Where USA Parkway hooks into US 50 and then going out to Silver Springs and Dayton?
Absolutely, especially with emissions. You know, we are dangerously close. As the chair of the Board of Health, we are dangerously close of not attaining the EPA requirements, and you do not want to get flagged for that. There are so many repercussions for that. So if we could build where people work, that would also address other issues than just affordable housing in terms of the air quality here.
Okay, and you brought up something that I've been saying for years, which is it's not going to be water that we run out of that stops growth. It's going to be the air quality.
Yep, and like I said, we get very close to not reaching attainment. Now, with this new administration in, with the EPA changes that are probably in the mix, we might not get slap too hard for it, but it's still not good for your quality of life and the health of the citizens in the community. But to play an isolationist role with the other counties is so wrongheaded. We're a region, and we're going to grow as a region and through cooperation and good regional planning.
And the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center has put out an interesting map over the last few months, which shows the park as the center of the region, and Reno Sparks and Lyon County and all the other counties around it, they are showing themselves as the center of the region, which is kind of interesting.
Well, I think that if it was proper growth, that's where the growth would go, where the jobs are, so that they would be the center of the region. I don't know how, if I'll see that in my lifetime, but I think the growth will go that way, especially if you see people that commute from Fernley to come into work because that's all that they could afford, or the size of the house that they wanted, right? You get more of the home. But we do need to be talking to the other counties that surround us. And we've said that as a Washoe County forever. I mean, we go to their economic development meetings. We play with all of them in the sandbox. But I also understand why people don't want housing. You know, a bedroom community is not a sustainable community because they have so many services that they demand, and it really doesn't work out. A county that's all commercial is the richest county because they don't call the fire department, they don't call the police, they don't have kids in school, right? So I get the isolationist role, and they are, you know, making some really good money. But they're going to have to come to their senses as well.
Okay, let me go back to the health issue and the EPA. What are the biggest particulate issues in the Truckee Meadows at this point in time?
What are the biggest particulate?
Yeah, I mean,
emissions. Emissions.
So car emissions?
Yes.
And how close to busting that limit are we? And is this basically on days where we have high pressure over the area and it traps the gases in the valley?
There have been several days we have not reached attainment, but we can write in that there was a significant event, the fires. So then we were able to say, we're very sorry, and try not to happen again. California, please stop, you know, lighting yourself on fire. But mainly it's the vehicle emissions.
So is the Southeast Connector going to help with that?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's necessary. I did not support the Southeast Connector.
Right, but it's a reality.
It's a reality now, exactly. But I think it is necessary with the way that the growth has been pretty much, to my mind, not as well thought out in the Spanish Springs area.
And you're going to see a lifting of some traffic when USA Parkway hooks into 50. That's going to take some of the pressure off the Spaghetti Bowl in Reno, correct?
Correct.
And so that. But how much time do you think we have before the EPA is going to come crashing? Is this a 5-year problem, a 10-year problem, or is it maybe even sooner?
It's sooner, and I would encourage you to talk to Charlene Albee, who is our environmental director, because she is always in a position of trying to figure out, okay, is there a significant event? Can we write this up as that? And also trying to teach developers how to not add to the particulate in terms of putting water down on the dust. And believe it or not, we still have violators for stuff like that.
And that can be pretty huge fines.
I don't think they're big enough, but yeah.
Well, if you go back far enough in time to Helms Construction, I mean, they tried to fight it, and they got hit with huge fines, you know, multi-million dollar fines back in the day. So
I've never seen that in my tenure.
Okay, well, I've been here a long time. but what would happen? I mean, what could the EPA do? I mean, can they come in and say, stop building, you know, impose traffic conditions? I mean, what can they do beyond fines?
I'm not really sure, but it would definitely be fine-based. And they could also shut down growth, right? Because of the fact that this is not a healthy community to live in.
Let me ask you this, in a final question, really. What's your feeling about the relationship between the Washoe County Commissioner and the Reno City Council?
Well, you know, I think there's opportunity to always work more together. But in general, I get along with all of them.
But what are your concerns?
Well, growth, regional planning, annexation. You know, when they annex into the county, we lose the tax base for the fire that we provide. And then in general...
When you say fire, you mean fire stations?
Yes. and for firefighters, period. That's, we have a dedicated fund for that. It's not a general fund based operation. And every time they annex, we then lose that. And I could argue they don't build another fire station.
And they would come back and say they don't have the money.
Well, then don't annex.
And then, and the other question, of course, would be sewer.
Absolutely. The infrastructure. We really should, and City of Sparks, too. We all should be working together on the infrastructure that's necessary for the future rather than siloed and having this arms race for needing development to pay for fire, needing to annex that to take the property tax. It's an arms race. That if that is not solved, it's very difficult for us to be regional partners.
And who do you think are the two people, one from the county, one from the city, that can make this work?
I think Mayor Sheeby is open-minded, practical, reasonable, and I...
So you're suggesting others on the council are not?
No, not at all. But I think that as a mayor, she is particularly strong in terms of having vision and to be able to create the dialogue and which path we want to go on.
And who would that be at the commission? I put you on the spot.
You did put me on the spot. I would say probably our chairman, Bob Lucy, because remember, he has no history either. He didn't go through the fire divorce, the deconsolidation, but they didn't either. But staff did. And so I think Commissioner Lucy would probably be the one. And they work great together. They're on RSCBA together in leadership roles. And I think they have a lot of mutual respect and see the bigger picture.
And that's where you have to leave it. Come back soon, will you?
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mary Lau is here, the President and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada. Mac Bybee is President and CEO of the Associated Builders and Contractors. And Andrew McKay is Executive Director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. So as we are taping this morning, President Trump is going to speak to the American Legion. And it's been interesting to see some of the responses. The City Councilwoman of Reno, Jenny Brekus, didn't want the president to come to Reno. Governor Sandoval took the extreme opposite tack, and he is going to meet the president on the tarmac and talk to him about, my goodness, Nevada issues. And the mayor of Reno just wants to make sure that the president is aware of what kind of city Reno is. Your thoughts, Andy, on the president's visit?
I think my response to Councilwoman Brekus is, come on. I mean, he's the president of the United States. You may agree or disagree with him politically. He's the president of the United States, and he's coming to speak to one of the largest veteran organizations in the entire country. He's having their national convention here. So welcome him.
And isn't this a case of where one respects the office, whether one respects the person holding the office or not?
Exactly.
Mary?
That would be the old Bill Raggio school of thought. I mean, you respect the office and you treat the people accordingly. So not being Bill Raggio, I think Jenny Brekus could be the one to leave.
Mac? Mac is now trying to control his laughter.
I agree with Andy. This is the president of the United States. He's coming to the city of Reno, speaking to one of the largest veterans organizations in the country. I don't know how you don't welcome the president of the United States when they want to come into your community.
And it was interesting. I got an email this morning, because I happen to be on the mailing list, of a group of about 7 or 8 left-leaning organizations who are all organizing the demonstrations against the president coming. So it's not like this is just people showing up who are unhappy with the president. It's definitely an organizing thing.
Well, yeah, my response to all that is, don't people work?
Well, that is their job. What are you talking about? They are paid to do that. They recently had a reporter, and one of the protesters handed him a business card, which was part of the organized effort.
Wow. Mac, your thoughts?
I just protest as part of politics. It's freedom of speech. If people don't like the president, that's their right. They can show up and do what they want. Peaceful protest is one of the foundations of our country.
And I think that, you know, as against what we saw in Charlottesville, even though the protests did get a little bit out of hand in Phoenix, they weren't to the point where you would say, you know, the president shouldn't be appearing. I think the mayor of Phoenix was a little overblown in wanting the president to stay away for a week, a month, perhaps, as he said.
Well, I mean, I think when you look in terms of his speech last night, I agree with Mac. If I gave the impression that I don't encourage, you know, free expression, absolutely not. I'm just saying it seems like the same people are at these all the time. You know, what do they do with their lives outside of that? That being said, I think you got to give kudos to the city of Phoenix and the police department. You had some folks that did show up that wanted to be disruptive, and they were able to handle it pretty efficiently.
Let's talk about the breaking news that came out through the New York Times night before last, was that Mitch McConnell in private doubts if Donald Trump can save his presidency. Apparently the majority leader and the president have not spoken in weeks. Your thoughts on that?
So what else is new? I mean, they're not BFFs. They don't constantly talk. And my understanding is Mitch McConnell is a very, very private person. He doesn't engage a lot. Mac would know better than I would, because I didn't work in Washington, D.C. But he's not somebody that runs around and says, let's grab a cup of coffee. They're both busy people. And, yeah, there was a little bit of a pissing contest going on between the two of them. But who cares in the long run if they start working out? I mean, this is a different administration, different kind of guy, and they're not going to play by the same rules. But again, what do we know that Mitch McConnell knows privately? I mean, is it speculation, or is his wife now the leaker?
Well, and Elaine Chao, of course, his wife, is a member of Donald Trump's cabinet, and she says that she gets along with both of her men.
Yes.
and she has served in – she's probably the most experienced person in the cabinet – as far as serving in cabinets over the years. But, you know, there is now a war, obviously, and probably has been for a while, between the White House and the Congress that is now flaring into the open. I mean, there's more leaking going on than in a plumber's convention. And, you know, it seems to me that, you know, at what point does Chuck Schumer go over to Mitch McConnell and say, you know, we can work together and get a 2/3 majority to get some of the things done that we need to get done and bypass the president?
Well, I think there are some things you can do that on for sure, but you're not going to do it on the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. You're not going to do that on tax reform. You're not going to do this.
Debt ceiling, for example.
You're not going to get it if you're looking at immigration reform. So any of your big national topics, it's just not going to happen, because Schumer wants to be majority leader of the Senate. He doesn't want to help Mitch McConnell out on policy wins. And he certainly doesn't want to help the president on any policy wins. So I think that scenario is unlikely, unless you're talking about veterans, infrastructure spending, and things that traditionally are less controversial and have widespread support.
Okay, let's take a break, and we're going to hold you over to the next show, so we'll continue this conversation. We'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you. safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators. From the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast, Aaron West of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We'll see you then.